You're listening to the Embrace Running Podcast. I'm Mark.
And I'm Elena, and this is episode number 2 for January 9th, 2012.
Welcome to the show. This is the podcast where we talk about everything running, from marathons to 5Ks, training gear, races we've been to, races we're planning to go to. Well, I guess before we get into what we've been doing this past week or how our training has gone this week, a couple things I wanted to talk about was the New York City Marathon. There was a couple things in the news this week, the first being big-time price increases for New York, which was New York was already, I think, the most expensive marathon in the country.
I think so. I think I read that with all the kind of articles coming out regarding the price increase. It seemed like it was already at least topping the list.
And I mean, we're here on the West Coast, so we're not super familiar with the New York City Marathon, I think. We only hear about the New York City Marathon. We don't know anybody that's done it. So we hear about it from other running podcasts and runner blogs that talk about the event. But obviously it's a huge event, 45,000 plus people. A lot of people, it's like a lottery to get in or you have to qualify. There's lots of different standards to even make it in outside of the lottery that make it difficult. But I guess it's on a lot of people's bucket lists, mm-hmm. as it's definitely one of the most popular ones. It's definitely one of those that if you're a runner, if you're a serious runner or a marathon runner, I guess you want to do it at some point.
Yeah, I think it's probably the one I hear about most often, second to Boston.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, probably number two. Yeah. I mean, we hear about Chicago a lot, too.
That's true, yeah.
Ironically, everything big seems to be on the East Coast, not out here. But,
right.
So, new prices, and I guess the reason cited for the price increases was, I guess, the city of New York charging the race for security and road closures and everything. And I guess the race is being forced to kind of the race organizer having to pass that on to the runners. So I think the new price is $216, which compared to, I think, $156 last year.
Wow, that's a huge increase, I think.
And that's actually for members of the New York Runners Club. For just regular U.S. residents, the fee increased to $255 from $196.
Wow.
And international applicants will have to pay $347, which is up from $281.
Talk about a price increase.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know if that's really going to stop anybody from doing it. I mean, I guess if you were willing to pay $156 last year, I guess you can make the argument what's another $60.
Especially if it's on your bucket list.
If it's on your bucket list.
Yeah.
And obviously they have no problem getting people at $156. So, I don't think any price increase is going to make any change in terms of how many people want to do this race.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think it's, we need to get rid of the lottery now because no. Nobody wants to pay, $216 or $255, whatever I said. But I was talking to one person online, and they were like, well, at least if you do Nike women's half, you get
the Tiffany necklace at the end.
The Tiffany necklace, right. Thing, and it's not even anywhere near as expensive.
Right.
I did look up because I was curious. Chicago Marathon is actually $150 for residents. The closest big marathon for us out here on the West Coast, San Francisco Marathon, is $125, actually goes up to $135. I think this week sometime on the 15th, I believe it is. So New York, the most expensive and getting more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And actually for New York, they're actually changing a bunch of the qualifying factors for 2013, not for 2012.
Right. So starting for next year's race.
Right. So it was kind of interesting. The article that I was reading, I think, which is from the New York Times, even said that I guess only 10 or 20% of the people that actually make it in are from the lottery. I guess most people that actually get in either run fast enough to get the qualifying uh-huh. time so they get the guaranteed entry, or it's you're a member of the New York, I think it's Road Runners.
Yeah.
And then if you do like 9 of their races and volunteer, and I think you get an automatic in or whatever.
Right. And then there's those others who've done, I think, like 15 of the New York marathons in the past.
Right.
Right.
And they're going to change some of that in for 2013 as well.
Right.
But big time race, big time money. Have you ever thought about doing New York?
Maybe for a split second.
I mean, I guess if you're like us and here on the West Coast, I mean, it's, I guess the $255 really isn't that expensive because our cost is going to come in a plane ticket and hotel and
right.
food and cabs and and all that other stuff. So I guess now that I'm thinking about it again, it's not really that expensive if you're
when you factor in the other costs, right? Yeah, I think for us it's the flights, the hotels, and all the other travel expenses aside from just the race entry.
Now the other thing that the New York City Marathon made the news was actually today. I guess they struck a deal with ESPN, or I guess ESPN2 is going to start covering the race on ESPN2 for the next 5 years, I guess, live from now on. So that'll be cool. At least if you pay the $255, maybe you'll get a glimpse of yourself.
That's what I was just about to say. Well, yeah. If I can be on ESPN, then I'll pay the $255 plus the travel expenses to make it out there.
Yeah, so
I just have to get that guaranteed entry now, or the lottery.
Yeah, the interesting thing I forgot to mention for the lottery is I think to register for New York, you have to pay $11, non-refundable, just to enter the lottery.
So it'd be $266 for me.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, and if you don't make it in, then...
Then I lose the 11.
You lose the 11 bucks. Yeah.
Well, that's not too bad.
No, it's not bad. I just don't know of any other race that you paid
Just to enter.
Just to try. To run it. But, I mean, I guess there's not that many races that truly sell out on that scale. But, yeah, so ESPN's going to be covering it. I guess it says... coverage on November 4th event will run from 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN2. And then I think looks like it's going to be covered on one of the local New York stations. I'm not too familiar with their networks out there.
So they're covering it for about 3.5 hours?
Yeah, I guess I'm not exactly sure what time the race starts. So they'll probably, I don't know if they start.
That's right. It probably starts much earlier than 9, I would think.
Yeah, I'm not too sure what time the race starts, but they'll probably jump in maybe an hour in. I guess nobody wants to see on TV maybe the first 10 miles of the race. But yeah, so it's expensive. And the race is held in November. Registration just opened up, I think, November 2nd. And that goes...
January 2nd.
January 2nd, I'm sorry. And goes until, I think it's April.
Yeah, I think it's the end of April.
Sometime is the deadline. And if you want to... get in on the guaranteed qualifying times, I guess you have until the end of January to run one of those qualifying times to get in. So you got 2 weeks if you want to go find a full marathon. Or what I didn't know until we were talking before we started recording was that I guess you can qualify based on a half marathon time, which we were looking at the times just real quickly, and it seemed like it's a lot easier to qualify on the
half marathon times than the... It seemed like the half marathon times were a bit more lenient when we calculated the pace than the full marathon, which is something I hadn't even thought about.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I guess it doesn't make a difference for me. I'll never qualify on either of those times. But for a lot of people, if you're thinking about doing it, I guess take a look at what those half qualifying times are, because it might be easier than that full marathon qualifying time. Although, like I said, they're going to go up for 2013.
Yeah, they're going to be more stringent.
It could be as much as a 10-minute difference on your half time, which, I mean, now you're talking a minute per mile, something like that, which is no small amount. But at least we'll be able to watch it on TV, which is cool because, I mean, really, there's nothing you can really watch that's running on TV live. I remember like a month ago, like Iron Man, they air that, I think, on NBC every year, but it airs like... a month or 3 months after the actual event.
Right, yeah.
Because they don't do the live thing. They do kind of the montages and the stories.
Right.
And so I guess it takes time for them to put all that together. But
it's like months after the event. So it'll be nice. Yeah, it'll be nice to see something day of.
Right.
Yeah.
And I know out here in California, they did the California International Marathon a couple years back. I think one of the local news stations in Sacramento, I thought they had live coverage of the event, but they kind of do it as part of their morning news thing. Mm-hmm. But I haven't even seen that the last couple of years, so I'm not even familiar if they're still doing that or not. That takes care of New York. So training for this week for us, I've had the unfortunate situation that I've been sick for about the last 4 or 5 days, which I can tell you really sucks. Especially when you got a half marathon coming up.
Right.
I just really didn't want to miss any days, but I actually missed one day of running last week. I went out this weekend. I was planning to run 10. I think I did about 8.5. Didn't want to push it too much. And I was really tired, I guess, from being sick. It really took a lot out of me. My next scheduled run on my plan is tomorrow, which I have no idea if I'm going to do or not.
How did you feel the day of your run this weekend, your long run afterwards? Did you feel pretty run down?
I was pretty tired once I got to like mile six of the run, you know, doing 8.5, and afterwards I was really done. Although ironically, I wasn't as hungry as I usually am right when I finish. I kind of do a lot of long runs and I'm like starving looking for food, and I don't think I was as hungry. But I think Saturday night, which is the day I did the long run, I think I fell asleep like at 9:30 PM and I think I slept for 9 hours. So, I was tired and, but it was good. I got some good rest. I'm just worried cause I got the half, or we both have the half, and I guess now it's 6 days away.
6 days this coming, yeah, 6 days away.
So for me, the question is, am I getting better? Or am I still getting worse? Am I going to be fine for the half? I think at this point, I'm going to do it no matter what. I mean, this is my first half marathon. I don't think there's anything that would keep me from doing it at this point. But like I said, I'm supposed to run tomorrow. I'm hoping I'm better tomorrow and not worse. If I'm worse, I guess I'll skip the run.
That'd probably be a good idea.
Or actually, I was supposed to run Tuesday and Thursday this week. Maybe if I'm not better by Tuesday, I just run Wednesday.
Give yourself more time to rest in between the runs, basically in between your last pre-race run and then the race itself.
Right. So, yeah. Not totally sure what I'm doing. I think, you know, if you're new to running, the question is when you get sick, you know, whether do I run, do I not run? Some people say, oh, run and you sweat it out, or you clear your mucus and
that's usually better. My motto.
Yeah, you tend to run no matter what.
Yeah, sick or not.
Sick or not.
Yeah. I don't know that that's necessarily the smartest thing to do, but
yeah, we're not giving you medical advice, right? Here. I think I traditionally follow the rule that I've heard before from runners is that you kind of follow the neck rule. If it's above the neck, go ahead and run.
Right.
If it's below the neck, you don't run.
Right.
So if you got chest congestion, a cough, anything else going on, you probably want to skip your run. If you just have your runny nose or sore throat, I guess go ahead and run.
Yeah.
But I think people probably should probably listen to your own body. I think you know how you feel. I mean, you know, kind of know how you bounce back and stuff like that. So,
right. And I mean, definitely, you know, taking it easier if you are going to run when you're sick, even if it is just the nasal congestion and, you know, if your body's feeling a little run down, I think.
Now, here's the funny thing. When I did the run on Saturday, I actually went out faster than I planned, faster than I've been running my long runs. So I don't know if I just wanted to get out there and get it over with.
Yeah,
I was like, okay, if I run a little bit faster, I'm just going to bang this out and get home, and then I can just kind of eat, shower, and go to bed. But that probably wasn't a smart thing, coming out a little bit too fast. But that's what it was.
Yeah.
So how was your week?
My week was pretty uneventful. Let's see, ran, I think, a total of 4 days last week. A couple of short runs, and then my long run yesterday. I did 14 miler, trying to keep up in the 14 to 16 mile range. That way, I'm pretty much ready to do a half marathon whenever it comes up. But interestingly enough, I felt more sluggish, more tired on my shorter runs, my 4 and 5 milers, than I did on my 14 mile yesterday. I actually felt really good, and I have no real reason or explanation for why that was, but it was a pretty good run.
Yeah, it's interesting I mentioned that, because last week when I ran on Tuesday before I got sick, I actually felt really good. The best midweek run I've...
Great, so are you telling me I'm going to be getting sick today or tomorrow based on that logic?
No, we're not saying that at all, but yeah, I don't know. Actually, I think I might have gotten sick from a lack of sleep. I don't think I was sleeping that well last week.
I do remember you mentioning something about, having some late nights.
Yeah, so that probably didn't help. I guess right. They say, you know, get your rest and, you know, your fluids and, you know, keep the sicknesses away in the winter. But
and maybe that's why I haven't gotten sick, knock on wood, is because sleep is usually not an issue for me. I make sure I get that in.
We're both doing Rock and Roll Arizona, which is, like I said, 6 days a week. 6 days a week. 6 days away from now. What are you doing different this week? Are you doing anything different this week before the race?
I don't think I'm really doing much different this week before the race, aside from just making sure that I'm hydrating well and, you know, eating as best as I can, and doing whatever I can to not get sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So race is on Sunday. Are you going to run the day before?
Probably.
What do you do, a couple miler?
Yeah, like 3 or 4.
3 or 4, and then Friday run or no?
Yeah.
So
I'll run.
So you're going to run Friday, run Saturday.
Right.
And then you're going to do the half marathon on Sunday.
Yeah. And I mean, but that's kind of my typical week, so.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you definitely run a lot more weekly mileage than I do.
And I'm not trying to PR in the half or anything. You know, I'm just going to go experience it for what it is. First rock and roll half marathon event. You know, we're flying out there, so, you know, destination race for us. So I'm not too worried about my actual time. So I think that's probably why I'm not, you know, cutting back as much as far as run, you know, my runs leading up to the race.
Yeah, I definitely won't be running Saturday the day before, and probably not Friday, assuming I'm not still sick.
Right.
But either way, I won't run Friday or Saturday, but I'd like to run, I'd like to get in some kind of run on Thursday and see how that goes. But obviously hope to feel better by then.
Right. I mean, and at this point, I think it's a big difference between your first half marathon that you've been training the last several weeks for, you know, building up to, versus I've kind of, you know, stayed at, you know, 14, 16 milers since the marathon last month. So I think it's kind of a different strategy as far as the week before the race.
Yeah, the funny thing is now since I got sick, I think it was today, I was actually thinking, oh man, if this being sick screws up my half, you know, not that I'm not going to do it, but if I feel tired or sluggish or sick because of this, I'm like, okay, how soon after this can I do
another half?
I'm like looking at the calendar going, okay, I'm not going to do another one in January, but I'm like, maybe February.
Maybe
February. I'm looking at that Pasadena rock and roll half. Like, if this one gets screwed up because I'm sick, maybe I just run down to Pasadena.
And then you can get your double medal, right? The one for getting the two.
I think it's the heavy medal. I forgot what it's
called. I can't remember what it's called. Rock Encore? Probably. I always forget what. I look at those all the time and I forget what they are.
Yeah, so I was thinking about either running down there for that, or then there's a local Brazen half, and I think the exact same weekend.
Same weekend. Yep.
But I'm getting ahead of myself.
Right. Yeah. Let's get you through this week first. You should focus on your first half. But
so I packed over the weekend, so I'm actually ready to go. I got my running stuff, everything. I made my checklist. I packed everything away. I'm taking the water bottle, like we talked about last week. Mm-hmm. Carrying my own water during the race.
Now that you've been sick, since that wasn't something obviously you had planned on leading up to the race, are you packing differently? Planning a different race strategy or anything?
No, nothing's changed based on being sick.
Okay.
My goo strategy. You know, I think my plan is I'm going to take 2 goos during the half. Which I seem to need a goo early on the run. I don't know why. So I might take the first goo like at 4 or 5. And then I guess like 9 or 10, I'll take another goo. But I'm, like I said, I'm really bad with nutrition in the morning. I don't like to really eat before I run.
So even on your long runs when you were doing like the 11 mile or 11 plus, you didn't really eat before?
When I was doing 9, 10, 11s, I think a lot of the time I would just take a goo like 20 minutes before I went out for the run. A lot of the time, I don't think I'd eat anything else that morning. I always do the runs Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
It's been my schedule, been pretty consistent with that. But I never really eat anything. No breakfast, no... I think one day I ripped off like half a bagel, like half an hour, just to get something in my stomach, which is probably not the best way to do it. You probably should have something in the morning. But I think for me, I'm just scared of having an upset stomach out on the long runs.
Yeah.
So if I just have a goo beforehand and then the 2 goos during, I think that's enough fuel to get me through it, at least at this point being my first half and the first time I've kind of done these longer runs. I don't think I really need more than that. Or if I do, I guess I'll learn that as time goes on.
Right. And I think there's the plan is to, there's supposed to be a goo station somewhere later in the course.
I'm really
in
picky
the course
with my
too,
goo,
so.
Though. I like my chocolate outrage.
Well, they might have chocolate. You
so
never
I'll be
know.
Yelling, like, chocolate?
Yeah, right.
You know, throwing everything else away. But
yeah, find somebody to trade with you.
I'm really picky, but I actually haven't tried that many of the flavors. I know they have a bunch, including the Christmas. They had the
peppermint stick. Peppermint, oh,
whatever.
Yeah.
Which you didn't like, right?
I did, actually.
Oh, you did?
I liked the taste, but and I don't know if it was just a coincidence, but the two times that I took it during my long runs. It was two separate weeks. I actually had some stomach cramps and stomach issues, and I don't know if they were completely unrelated or if it was actually related to that flavor goo, but it tasted really good. Yeah.
That's, yeah. So, yeah, so I probably, you have, what do you have in the morning before a race?
Before a race, I usually have like a wheat muffin or wheat toast or something like that with peanut butter. That's kind of my staple of what I eat before a run, for a long run or before a race. That's kind of my go-to thing, whether it's the marathon or the local 5K. That's kind of my usual.
Now, what about drinking before the race? Do you drink like water with that in the morning?
Yeah, I'll have some water.
And then do you ever take, because like I was thinking of taking like a small water bottle just kind of with me to the start, just to kind of drink some before the race started and not have to dig into my the water bottle that I'm, my Nathan that I'm going to be running with. Mm-hmm.
And try to save that for the race itself.
Right.
Yeah. I usually don't take any water with me like to the race start or drink a lot leading up to it just because I don't want to have to worry about trying to make another bathroom stop.
Right.
Close to or during the race.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I think our race start is, what, 7:30?
I think so.
7:30 a.m.? So the one thing is I'm just not used to getting up this kind of early. Like, my midweek runs are evening runs. And then when I run on the weekends, I run anywhere from 8:30 in the morning till 10 a.m., I guess. This past weekend, I didn't go running until, like, 11 because I was sick. And I guess in my head, I couldn't decide whether I wanted to go run or not. But the reason I think I ran the most was... I just said to myself, if I don't go and get my run in, my head is going to be constantly thinking this weekend, should I go get my run in? Should I go get my run in? Should I have just gotten my run in?
Right.
And I just didn't want to listen to myself all weekend.
Just get it over with.
So what I was saying is I'm just not that used to, you know, if it's a 7:30 a.m. start, we're going to be staying out and, you know, we're going to be, the race is from Tempe.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be staying right in Tempe, but you never know with, how long it's going to... I don't know what time we got to be at the start.
Right.
I mean, at
so
least...
So either way, it's an early...
We're going to be there 6:30 or 7.
It's an early day.
Probably going to be getting up at 5:30, which is not that different than a regular weekday, but I'm not used to...
Having to race.
Running that early, or I'm just concerned with nutrition. If I'm getting up at 5:30 and I'm not starting the race till 7:30, that's mm-hmm. 2 hours. That's kind of a long time, I guess. But maybe it's not that different than a regular weekend. Because it's not like I... On the weekends, I necessarily get up at 8 a.m. and at 8:20, I'm out the door.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'm up for a while. So I don't know. I'm not going to worry about it too much. More concerned about being sick than anything. But yeah, 7:30 a.m. start. We just printed, I guess a couple days ago, we got our race packets, or I don't know what you want to call them, our corral assignments too. So I'm starting out in lucky corral number 13.
Hey, corral 13 for your first 13.1.
There you
that's,
go.
That's got to be a sign right there.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
There you go.
And I had to look up, I guess, for my predicted finish time, I guess when I registered, I guess I put 2:20 as my time, which off the top of my head, I have no idea what pace that is. But my plan is to kind of, my plan is still to run walk it. That's my plan. Sometimes that changes when I get to a race. And that goes out the window, and I just decide, oh, I'm not going to take any walk breaks at all. At least I did that with, I think, the last 10K I did, which wasn't smart. So, for sure, I'm going to try to run walk it, maybe 5-minute run, 1-minute walk, something like that, which is still faster than what I've been doing, but we'll see how it goes.
Are you worried at all about travel, the effects of travel leading up to the race?
I don't think so. I'm a little bit, I guess the race is on Sunday, so I don't know what I'm necessarily doing on Saturday, but,
aside from going to the expo and
going to the expo,
picking up the bib and,
hopefully not, you know, I'm sure that's going to be some walking around there, but I think we might also, be spending some time in Tempe or Phoenix, and I don't know what we're going to be doing, but try not to walk too much. I'm going to try to get sleep on Friday night, get a good night's sleep. That way, in case I don't get enough sleep on Saturday, at least I'll be rested. I mean, that's one tip that I've read many times from either running magazines or people talking about that. You know, if you're doing a big marathon on Sunday, you're probably going to be nervous about it on Saturday night. You know, you're probably, I think you do it sometimes where it's you wake up in the morning, you know, you wake up at 3 in the morning and go, oh my God, did I miss the race?
Right. And then you wake up at 3:30 and did I miss the race?
Yeah. And then 4 a.m. Oh my God, did I miss the race? So you know, at least for, you know, a half for most, a lot of people isn't a big deal. But, you know, for big races, whatever that distance is for you, you're probably not going to get a great night's sleep that night before. So the next best thing is at least make sure you get good sleep that 2 nights before.
2 nights before,
yeah. So if you're doing the big Sunday races, get that sleep on Friday. You know, if you need that 8 hours, get that 8 hours, you know. Let yourself sleep in on Saturday morning before you go to that expo.
Have you planned out your nutrition or eating, or are you worried about that at all for the day before?
No. not worried about it.
Not planning it.
It's only
to
a
see
half.
What comes up.
I'm not going to go try to carbo load, mm-hmm. as they say. Although I'll probably try to find some place to eat that I'm familiar with.
Right.
You know, that's the issue. You know, people who do the carbo load thing, or, you know, you can argue the merits of that, whether you really need to or how important that is. But sometimes, you know, I wouldn't want to go try a brand new Italian place and, some new type of pasta that's going to upset your stomach or something
before.
Like that. So, I guess if it's find something that you're familiar with or something that's easy. Now, the only thing I'm going to try to do is eat later than I maybe normally do.
Mm-hmm. So to carry you over.
To kind of, that way I'm not hungry, like as hungry maybe the next morning, or not hungry that same night. Like, I don't want to go to dinner at 5 and then like at 9 o'clock at night when I should be thinking about going to bed, be mm-hmm. like, oh, now I need a snack,
right.
or I'm still hungry. So if I can have dinner, maybe shoot for like a 7:30 dinner. And then it's just kind of dinner, relax, and then I guess get your stuff ready for the next day, for that early start.
And
then sleep. That's probably what I'm going to be concerned about. I guess you should put out all your stuff the night before the half, kind of what you're going to wear and all that stuff.
Are you planning to do that, or just day of, just get up and?
I mean, I kind of know what I'm. You know, well, you know, here's the interesting thing: we're going out to Tempe, and I think the weather's calling for like high 60s.
I think
think it's like 70s there right now this
right.
week.
Yeah, I think it's looking like it's 69 or 70 or something high for that day.
So actually this past weekend I ran in shorts for the first time in 2 months, which was fine, but it was kind of weird because I've kind of gotten used to wearing sweats because it's been really cold when I run at night and the evenings during the week.
Mm-hmm.
But I ran in shorts because I hadn't run in shorts in so long. I'm like, well, I mean, run in shorts just because it's been a while. This is going to seem weird. But I was fine. So I know exactly, I think, what I'm going to wear. It's just I don't know if I'm going to wear a long sleeve shirt or a short sleeve shirt. I brought a throwaway that I can wear to the start and then toss it. But I think the weather's just not going to be that cold. So it's going to be a non-issue.
Right.
At least that's what I'm thinking. But I packed gloves, packed arm warmers. I guess that's it. I don't know what else odd thing that I packed.
Did you pack a beanie?
No.
No.
Nah, it's definitely not going to be cold enough for a beanie. I mean, it's funny. You know, we mentioned last week, it's like summer here in Northern California. I mean, today was kind of ridiculous. I don't know. It was in the 60s. It could have been 70.
No, I think around early afternoon, I think we might have actually gotten into the low 70s.
I mean, the heater was off in my office, and I actually have the sun beaming through my window. And I think it was like 77 in my office.
Wow.
And I felt like I needed shorts and a t-shirt just being at work today. So I guess the fortunate thing is going to Arizona right now. It's not going to be that different than what we've had here in California. But we'll see. But that's, you know, the interesting thing, I guess, is after the race, I guess the rock and roll, they have the performance and stuff, which maybe
right.
we'll catch, maybe we won't. But then I think we're going to still try to go see some other stuff in the area. So we'll see how tired we'll be.
Mm-hmm.
More concerned about me because, like I said, you're more used to running these miles. But we'll try to do some sightseeing and stuff after that and go hang out that night and dinner. And maybe I'll wear my half medal all day, which, interestingly enough, I have no idea what the medals look like.
I didn't even think about it until you brought it up right now.
Rock and Roll actually just posted a couple days ago what their Pasadena medal
right.
is
I remember seeing
like.
That because it's the, I think it's an inaugural race right. for them this year. So
right.
yeah,
which is
I did see
pretty
that.
Cool medal, but I haven't seen the Arizona medal.
I can't say that I've seen it either.
I'll have to check their Facebook page, but
so you'll be wearing that all day on Sunday?
Yeah, why not? Well, I don't know. Why not? I earned it, right?
Yeah, why not?
I
it's
know
your
some
first
people,
half.
I know some people that do that with full marathons and
mm-hmm.
and they should, but yeah, why not do it with the half? Well, but like, I don't know what it looks like, so maybe I'll want to
wait and see what it looks like.
And hopefully they don't run out like they did at
Las Vegas.
Yeah,
last month. That was another issue that we heard about
Yeah, I think the most different thing for this race is this is the first race that I've even been to see. And I think the first one you've been into where they actually are going to have real corrals and wave starts.
Yes.
Because now, you did Nike Women's
Half
in San Francisco, which is like 20,000 people.
Right.
Yeah,
that's probably the largest race I think participated in.
Right, I don't think they had corral assignments, right?
You know, they had corral assignments, but it was just so... And I don't know if this is what it's like every year because it's the only year that I went, and this was a couple years ago. There was just so many people, so much chaos that there was no way to actually get to your corral.
Right.
And I don't think they did wave starts, but I think they did have, you know, like corral assignments.
Now, I remember, didn't they have like signs like you would see at a smaller half or something that had like your pace?
Yeah,
they did have that. So you were supposed to line. I think it was just you lined up based on your...
Based on your pace. Expected pace.
Right.
Yeah, but they definitely didn't have wave starts.
And so this will be the first time.
Yeah, that was a couple years ago.
So first, yeah, no, Sam, when you actually went with you and there was a couple of us that went out, I went just to watch and kind of drive you and some other people out there. Me and one other person just went and watched, and the, you know, Union Square in San Francisco was just wall-to-wall
people.
I mean, you couldn't get to wherever it is you needed right. to be. I remember people yelling, like, I got to get to the race. I got to run the race. And I mean, you're just literally smushed up against people. And now, you know, we were telling people like, well, where do you want us to go? You know, unless they literally wanted to crawl over our heads and kind of do a shoulder to shoulder.
And over everybody else's.
Right. I mean, you weren't going to kind of to get anywhere. So yeah. So first one with real, hope, real corrals and hopefully it'll be organized.
Right. Well, actual wave starts as planned.
Yeah. So I guess the way it works, they let a wave go, I guess, every couple minutes or something like that.
Right.
Now, you're going to be in wave. Which wave are you? Or which corral?
I am in corral 4.
4?
Yeah, corral 4 based on my...
Because now you put in like a 150.
I think I put in a 150.
But you probably run a little bit faster than that anyways.
Probably.
Okay.
Probably.
So don't make sure you don't take all the water, you know, because I'm going to need
leave some
of that goo or some of that water for slower people.
If there's chocolate goo at that goo station, I'll take one and just hide it for you.
Tell him, hold this for Mark. He's going to be by in like, who knows, 20 minutes.
In a couple hours or so.
I'm just kidding. He'll be walking in pain.
Yeah. So it will be, it'll be the largest race that I've been in.
Now, I haven't seen how many people are supposed to be doing this. Race. I think last year was like 20-something thousand people.
Was it? I thought it was... Okay. For some reason, I thought it was more than that, but maybe I was thinking about one of their other events.
Well, I think it was... I thought it was 20-something thousand for the half, and then there might be a couple more thousand for the full.
For the full, yeah.
Although, I think this year... I think there might be more people doing it, because I don't know if there was a specific medal that some people were trying to get, or then because of the Vegas issue...
Yeah, I think
some people
things.
Were offered discounts... To this race?
Right. After doing Vegas and it not going well, then they got a discounted entry.
Right.
I think for this one. And then there was a special like desert medal or something if you did the Las Vegas one this past month and then did this race this month.
Then there was also Rock and Roll was going to do a Palm Springs or Palm Desert
race
at the end of 2011, which they canceled.
Right. It was supposed to be New Year's, I think.
And I think they offered like the Arizona race now in January as like a replacement, or you can switch to it or something like that. I don't think it was really any discount to the people,
right?
But I guess it's possible that a lot of people
made that switch
because they figured, well, it's 4 weeks later and it's, you know, Palm Desert to Arizona is kind of the same. It's kind of the same race in a lot of ways. But I know last year I think Rock and Roll's numbers were actually down for Arizona, but they did change the course, so this is actually a new course for Rock and Roll Arizona.
Oh.
Okay. For sure, I think for the half. I think it's got to be for the full also. So we're doing a loop. The full marathon's actually going to start in downtown Phoenix and run to Tempe. I think we're going to actually finish it right near Arizona State Sun Devil Stadium over there, whatever their stadium's called. Mm-hmm. I'm not that familiar.
So we're starting close to that and then finishing close to that.
Yeah, our start and finish is actually, I think, probably 2 or 3 blocks away. We're kind of starting in... downtown Tempe, I think on Mill Avenue, which is kind of the main, you know, Tempe's a college town. It's like the main strip there where there's kind of a lot of restaurants and I think some shops. I haven't been there in a couple of years. We've actually both been to Arizona. You've been to Arizona, what, once or twice before?
Once.
I think I've been to Arizona 3, 4, 5 times. I don't even remember. I was even there several times as a kid. So it's a nice place. Looking forward to getting back there. Looking forward to doing the first half. So we'll probably do no show next week because we'll be traveling for Rock and Roll Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll probably be back in 2 weeks
with the our race report.
With the full race report.
See how you felt and how you did with your first half.
Hopefully I report back that my sickness came to an end on Thursday.
Right.
So no issues flying out there.
Felt great and rested.
Ran a... I'm guaranteed to run a PR.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm predicting it. I'm predicting a PR.
Yeah. First race at any distance, always a PR.
Is automatically a PR. Yeah. So that's always... something you can tell people, hey, you've never done a 5K, come, it'll be up, you know. I guess they wouldn't care, I guess, if you've never done a 5K before.
Right.
So we'll be back in 2 weeks, no show next week. We're not going to talk about it today, but we just watched Unbreakable, which is a DVD, it's kind of like a documentary film about the Western States 100,
mm-hmm.
but we'll probably talk about that in 2 weeks or in 3 weeks,
yeah.
in case we take up too long with our Arizona report. So I think that's going to do it for this week. You got anything else?
I don't.
All right. Well, the website for the podcast is embracerunning.com. You can link from there over to our Facebook page. If you have any comments, questions, or feedback, you can email us at feedback@embracerunning.com or leave a note on our Facebook page or leave a comment on iTunes and give us a review. So until then, that's going to do it for the show, and we'll see you guys next time.